A challenge has been filed over a plan to allow a frack sand mining company to fill in a wetland in Monroe County. We will find out why an environmental group and the Ho-Chunk Nation want to stop this and why the DNR and the frack sand mining operation say it's okay to proceed. And we will wonder what you think. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We'll welcome your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome first Rich Kramer, a Wisconsin public radio reporter based in Eau Claire, host of the regional program The West Side. He wrote the recent news story, Environmental Groups Tribe Go to Court to Keep Frack Sand Out of the Wetlands. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Joy.
So first off, environmental groups and the Ho-Chunk Nation went to court to try to block this frack sand operation from filling in this wetland in Monroe County. But let's get a little background first. How did we get to this point?
Well, a company called Meteor Timber, which owns about 50,000 acres of forest land in the state, I believe they're the largest private landholder, they realized that they had some deposits of sand beneath their forest that would be easy to get at, so they decided to take a stab at mining it. It was a year-long process. The public notice went out from the Army Corps of Engineers last June, and it's caused a lot of pushback from environmental groups that are concerned and from the tribe that are concerned that these wetlands, these 16 and a quarter acres that the company wants to fill in, are very rare and high-value wetlands. But basically, the company realized it had some sand. The sand prices are starting to pick up now. You're seeing a lot of companies ramp up production again, so they just want to get on the party.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit confused as to why the frack sand mining company wants to fill a wetland in order to get the sand.
Well, the sand will actually be coming from two mines that are actually across the border in Jackson County. But they need this, the Meteor Timber says they need this piece of property, this wetlands, to be filled so they can build what's called a dry plant and a rail loadout facility. So the mine comes, the sand comes from the mine, it gets washed, processed, and then they need to get it onto rail cars because that's the cheapest way to haul it. And this wetland, the 16 acres, is right next to a rail line on the property that they already own. And for them, they say that this is the only practicable economic alternative for them.
All right, and so they needed a permit to be able to do this. The DNR did grant that permit?
Yes, in mid-May. Mm-hmm. So the permit was approved by the DNR, and almost immediately there was talk of these groups trying to stall it and go to court. There's two different approaches. Clean Wisconsin is going the administrative law route. So they're petitioning the DNR to basically accept the petition, assign an administrative law judge to determine whether or not the agency made the right decision in granting the permit. So Midwest Environmental Advocates, on behalf of the Ho-Chunk Nation, has filed a petition in circuit court asking a circuit court judge to take a look at it and make sure that everything was above board.
Mm-hmm. So the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, by the way, declined our request for an interview, citing the pending litigation. But the DNR's justification for granting the permit is?
Well, they said that the application was complete. They said that the company proved that that this was the only location that would work. There's a change in state law in 2012 that when you're filling a wetland, the overall idea is that you want to avoid impacts to wetlands or avoid filling them if at all possible. But in 2012, the state law was changed that allowed companies to limit where they had to look for other alternatives for their frack sand mines, for example, or their facilities. If they could prove an economic benefit to the community, then they can limit it to the specific parcel or property right next to the specific parcel that they want to fill.
Yeah. And we also requested an interview with Atlanta-based Meteor Timber, but their spokesperson declined, again citing the pending litigation. Why does the company think that its request is not unreasonable?
Well, because the company, as part of any kind of wetland fill, in the permit, you have to prove that you are going to mitigate the impact. So first option is always to avoid, but if you can't avoid, like the company says it can't avoid the impact, then you're allowed to mitigate. So you can do that a few different ways. You can restore wetlands yourself on site. You can buy credits from a wetland bank where someone else, you know, builds a wetland and then they are granted the ability to sell credits. Or you can preserve it. That's not the preferred way, but Meteor Timber says that they're going to preserve more than 600 acres because, you know, they own all this property anyway. And by preserving it, they're claiming that this is an environmental, or they've told me, the CEO of the company, that this is an environmental benefit.
In fact, we do have a clip from spokesman Evan Zeppos, who you spoke with, I believe, earlier this year. Here's what he had to say.
When you look at a project that is impacting 16, but preserving another 643, many of which are high-quality wetlands, and you add in things like the Red Creek restoration, the eco passages, as well as the $65 million investment and 100 new jobs, I think this project warrants support.
So he's saying they're going to restore more wetlands than they're going to take, that essentially.
Essentially, and that is kind of a new tactic, probably has been used before, but in terms of sweetening the deal, I guess, for the DNR to approve the permit, even the DNR and some of the proceedings said that this could set a precedent that where other companies would basically, or other, you know, entities would say that, hey, we're going to preserve this, so we need to, that makes it okay for us to fill that. That's kind of a new territory that the DNR seemed a little bit concerned about, at least.
We are going to be joined after the news by a guest, an attorney from Clean Wisconsin, to explain why Clean Wisconsin is challenging this. But why don't the groups who are challenging this accept what the company is saying here, that it's going to be a win for the environment, essentially?
Well, the groups certainly are just, they're opposed to, they don't believe that the company has to put the facility in this location. They feel that there can be alternatives, or there should be other alternatives that are considered instead of filling these 16 and a quarter acres, again, which have been described as pristine. You know, they're hardwood swamps, which are very, they're not very common. And so they just don't think it has to be there. They also think that the DNR, at least from what I gathered, they think that the DNR didn't have enough information to properly consider the permit, so that's why they're challenging it.
Yeah. So besides the controversy over this wetlands fill issue, what is the company, what is the case the company is making for this frac sand mine?
Well, that it's their property and that they have the right to extract the resources. They just have, you know, they've got the deposits and they want to build the plant and they want to create jobs. They say that it will create 100 jobs or so. It's a $65 million investment, so it's a substantial development that they want to put together in Monroe County and also in Jackson County.
Yeah. And we just have about a minute or so before the news. You mentioned as we started that the frac sand mining prices are on the rebound again, because I thought there was a kind of a stall in this industry for a while.
Oh, the industry really tanked in 2015, excuse me, and into 2016. But now all the companies, the oil, the people that are drilling the oil using our sand, they've figured out how to do their job much cheaper. And in Wisconsin, they've figured out how to, the companies mining the sand have figured out how to do it much cheaper. So basically, it doesn't matter if oil prices are $100 a barrel anymore. These companies are able to make enough of a profit that they're starting to ship sand again. Demand is back up.
Yeah. So as this moves forward, what's the next step? We have just about 30 seconds.
So the DNR can either grant or deny the permit or the petition for an administrative law hearing, and then the circuit court can do the same. So I talked with someone from Midwest Environmental Advocates. They said that if the cases are taken by these judges, it could delay the project for at least a year. So they just want to stop that wetland fill.
Thanks very much, Rich, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Eau Claire. After the news, we will talk with a staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin and welcome more of your questions after this news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Environmental groups and the Ho-Chunk Nation have filed challenges recently to stop a wetland fill in Monroe County. We talked in our first segment with Wisconsin Public Radio's news reporter who is covering this issue. Now we will talk with an attorney from one of the environmental groups about why this group wants to stop this wetland fill from in northern Monroe County. And we will welcome your questions and we will welcome your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what do you think about this permit that was granted by the Wisconsin DNR that would allow a wetland to be filled and drained as part of a frac sand mining operation in Monroe County? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And again, our requests for interviews for the DNR and the frac sand mining company were declined, citing the pending litigation. Let me welcome our next guest. Evan Feinauer is a staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin, which filed a challenge last week to this issue. Before joining Clean Wisconsin, Evan worked as a litigation fellow with the Natural Resources Defense Council, where he worked on litigation related to the Safe Water Drinking Act in response to the Flint lead crisis. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being here. So let's just, why did Clean Wisconsin file a challenge on this wetland fill permit in Monroe County?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. The most immediate and pressing is protecting these 16 and a quarter acres of wetland that would be destroyed by this project. So that is the immediate impact, is that these are pristine wetlands that are considered imperiled by the state. They are home to rare and threatened species of animals and plants. And when you fill in a wetland, when you destroy a wetland, it's gone. These are ecosystems that take sometimes hundreds of years or longer to come back, if ever. So there's no undoing this once we do it. So we're very interested in slowing things down and going back and revisiting things that we think the DNR should have done differently the first time through the permit process.
I talk a little bit more about how unique this particular parcel of land is.
Well, it's considered imperiled. That's a designation that the state gives it under the State Natural Heritage Inventory Program. And what that means is that it either has restricted range, it has only a handful of populations or occurrences throughout the state, it's in decline, or a handful of other factors. So it's sort of an amalgamation of different factors that let us know that this type of wetland, which is a white pine, red maple type of wetland, this is a specific type of forested wetlands that we don't see much in the state and that is home to rare animals and plants.
Do you have any examples of rare animals and plants that might be lost if this were to proceed?
Sure. So there are things like the slender glass lizard and other animals that frequently live in wetlands that are considered either animals of special concern or they're even state and federal threatened and endangered species. Some of the endangered species, it's actually probably best not to name because they actually have to be redacted by the state because sometimes folks, for reasons that I can't even begin to understand, will go out and destroy those animals. Mm. So they're kind of like an animal witness protection program.
So the company, as we played a clip in our first segment, says that, you know, they're gonna restore a lot of other wetlands in place of this particular parcel that they want to fill. They say it will be actually better for the environment what they plan to do. Your response?
Sure. So there's a couple of things about this. Mitigation is required by law. So the first thing to note is just they aren't doing this because they are concerned about wetlands. They're doing this because they have to. The other thing to note is that the legal requirement that a mitigation program be performed as part of any destruction of wetlands isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. The law is very clear about this, that it's a required element of any complete application, but it doesn't entitle you then to get approval to fill the wetlands. It's just sort of a way of attempting to offset the harm that you're doing if they approve it. So it doesn't guarantee you anything. In addition, they're largely relying, not entirely, but largely relying on preservation as a mitigation tactic, which, as your reporter indicated, would be pretty novel. The extent to which they're relying on preservation of existing wetlands would be somewhat unprecedented. And the reason is historically, we don't favor that because these are wetlands that already exist. And so by preserving them and then destroying other wetlands in another area, you're ending up with the potential to have net fewer acres of wetlands. And so the benefits aren't the same as restoring impaired or damaged wetland somewhere else in the state, where you could plausibly end up with net greater acreage of more and better wetlands. Finally, they're doing some restoration projects that were mentioned in the clip that you played from Meteor Timber, the frac mining company. There are real questions about the efficacy of those programs, and a lot of those questions are actually posed in the permit itself. DNR, in issuing the permit, and this is one of our issues with the permit, voiced skepticism about things like wildlife corridors that would allow animals to move freely through the area, things like that, that we think they didn't submit enough information about and that haven't been demonstrated to actually work to mitigate impacts.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there are things that you wish the DNR would have done differently. Besides that, anything else?
Sure. So I just mentioned that there was information about restoration plans that we wish they were put in there. So that's information about things in the mitigation phase of the permit process. In addition, there are certain factors under law that the DNR is required to use in reviewing the sort of analysis of the impacts of the wetland fill. And for one of these factors, or for actually a couple of these factors, they didn't possess enough information to complete that review, and this is plain on the face of the permit itself. And this isn't just a procedural issue because it's a procedural issue. They didn't follow the law. The reason that they have to go through this required review before making a determination about the permit is that it gives the public an opportunity to be aware of what's included in the plan, what it entails, what the impacts will be, what concerns or problems there might be, and then come in and talk about it, to comment about it, to raise concerns. And so by allowing DNR to do some of the work after issuing the permit, it has the potential to rob the public of that opportunity. And that's a serious concern we have. And that's a serious concern we have about setting precedent for the future and how DNR operates in the permitting process more generally.
And expand on that. Why do you think this permit approval might impact future permits?
So when the DNR, as well as other agencies that do permitting, engage in the permit process, they want to do so in a very controlled and uniform way to treat everybody who comes forward and seeks a permit fairly. And so what that means is they develop practices over time. This iteration of our wetlands law is relatively new. And we want to make sure that certain parts of the law, the way they're being interpreted and applied, are applied in a even way over time. And what that means is certain terms got to be interpreted correctly and in a way that reflects what the legislature was intending to do when they passed this law, to create a careful balance between economic and environmental concerns. And so our concern is that if they issue this permit in a way that leans too far one way or the other, that in the future, different groups will be able to come forward and say, well, you filled in these wetlands over here for this company. We want this as well. And that could have real serious concerns throughout the state. And indeed, in the permit itself, DNR lists as a potential cumulative effect of this project that it will effectively incentivize other groups who maybe perhaps weren't applying for wetland fill before because they didn't think they could get it to come forward and now say, us too.
Yeah. And just in very general terms, what would be wrong with that?
Well, wetlands are, you know, I'm really glad you asked this because I think wetlands are sometimes misunderstood as being these swamps that are cold and wet and unpleasant. But in reality, wetlands are part of Wisconsin's natural heritage. We're really lucky to have as much wetlands as we do. They provide outstanding habitat for animals that can't live in other types of ecosystems. They are extremely beautiful. And in addition, and I think this is largely underrated, they have very large benefits for people. In particular, they improve water quality through natural filtration, and they are very good at reducing the impact of flooding because they act as sort of buffers during rain events that reduce flooding. So if you don't like your basement flooding, you should like wetlands. And I think, you know, these are types of land use that historically it's easy to disregard, but we're over the last generation or so, we've really come to understand how critical these are. And we want to make sure that they're there for future generations as well.
Our guest is Evan Feinauer, staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin. Clean Wisconsin filed a challenge last week to a wetland fill in northern Monroe County as a part of a frack sand mining operation. We are welcoming your thoughts and questions on this. Do you think that this wetland fill permit granted by the DNR in northern Monroe County was the right thing or the wrong thing to do? Do you support challenges trying to stop this wetland fill? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Evan, one of our listeners, Dan on Facebook, says that what you are doing is standing in the way of good-paying jobs and energy independence. What do you say to that?
Well, there are a couple of things. It is no doubt true that this company will come in if they are able to get this permit, and they will build a mine, and they will build the site that would destroy these wetlands, which is a drying and train loading area. And that is economic activity. But there are two things to really focus in on this. One is whether or not the economic benefits will be localized here in Wisconsin. So this is a company from out of state that proposes to come in and extract resources and then send them right back out the state. It'll employ a modest number of people. And the statute is very clear about the economic impacts assessment that it wants it to be local and it wants it to be lasting. And we don't think that the company submitted enough information in their permit to make us feel comfortable that that's been demonstrated. In addition, and I think this is sort of more important and a bigger picture point, when this statute was enacted, we had this exact debate about the needs for both preservation and protection of the environment and economic development. It was a big fight. All the groups came in. They commented. They shared their views. It was how the legislative process is supposed to work. We got a very careful statutory compromise that attempted to balance these considerations. It's our view that under that compromise, this permit shouldn't have been granted and this project shouldn't have been built. What we can't do is when we have an objective analysis that says this is where the line should be drawn between development and environmental protection, then when we get to a specific instance of trying to apply a permit or trying to get a permit, change the rules then. So, you know, I think that the legislature is constantly thinking of ways to potentially improve the law, and they are very open to concerns about standing in the way of solid and economic development. But that's an issue for potential future legislatures, not for interpreting the law as it is written today.
Let's go to the phones, and Tom in Burlington is with us. Hi, Tom.
We've destroyed so many wetlands around the United States. They supply the water that flows up in the sky, and it drops down on the farms, and which definitely affects the production that a farmer gets from his field. And if we destroy these things, we're not going to get what we want. They want production out of the fields. The second thing is, Wisconsin depends on tourism. I think we get $16 billion a year from tourism. But if we have nothing to look at in this state, there's no reason for people to come here and spend their dollars here. It's a very, very important, vital part of our economy is tourism.
Is that a part of the reason why you think that this should be challenged, Evan?
Well, there's no doubt that tourism is part of the economic picture. That's true for a lot of environmental issues, not just wetlands. But it undoubtedly is true here. You know, I mentioned that wetlands are naturally beautiful areas. Some of these are in preserved mm-hmm. state lands. Some of them are in other areas throughout the state, and people do enjoy looking at and coming and visiting these areas. I think the point that the caller made, the first point about the interconnection between these things, between things like agriculture and industry and the water, is really great. I mean, we've come to understand so much about how all these different things are connected, you know, water and air quality and farming and industry, and that all these things rely on one another. And so I think that reminds us that we have to be cognizant of the long-term implications of these acts.
Thank you, Tom. Next we go to Lori in Vernon. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I just want to reiterate that we don't know the magnitude of these, the complexities of these ecosystems. And to say that we're going to restore wetlands, it's ludicrous. We don't know how to do that. So this is a little piece of what was here before we came and destroyed most of it. And for us to come in and take it and destroy it and say we're going to replace it elsewhere is just, it's not true. We don't know how to do that. So I stand with the Ho-Chunk and all the rest of the environmental and neighbors who are fighting this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori. So, Evan, is it ludicrous to think we can restore wetlands?
It's very difficult to, particularly if you're talking about these really rich environments, these high-quality wetlands that are pristine and untouched, because these are ecosystems that develop over a very long period of time. So in terms of a human life, saying we're going to go out and plant some saplings and see what happens, it's very difficult. Now, it's different to talk about restoring wetlands sort of from scratch, so to speak, than it is just one that's been impaired by a little bit of water pollution or a little bit of development nearby or something that you can come to a little fix. So it's important to clarify those two types of things. But the caller's right, and for this reason, historically, trying to create new wetlands has been viewed with a great deal of skepticism by environmental regulators.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next, and then we'll continue talking about this challenge that our guest has filed. He's a lawyer with Clean Wisconsin, and Clean Wisconsin and another environmental group and the Ho-Chunk Nation are filing challenges to stop a wetland fill by a frac sand mining operation in Monroe County. We welcome your questions about this. We welcome your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Back after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about a controversy over a frac sand mining operation in Monroe County. The company wants to fill in a wetlands in Monroe County, and environmental groups and the Ho-Chunk Nation have filed challenges to this. We are talking with an attorney at Clean Wisconsin, which filed a challenge. And we are welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Evan Feinauer is our guest staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin. Let's go back to the phones, and Jimmy in Valley Junction is with us. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning. Yeah, I live over, of course, by Valley Junction. There's a huge sand mine here, and then just down the road by Tunnel City, there's a really huge one. And I guess as a comment, it's just kind of sad. You know, I know there's economic development, but what they're doing to the landscape, people worry about the tax burden we leave on our children, but it looks like we're leaving a scarred landscape, too. But my question was, is there anything in the law that requires these sand mines to be bonded or have money set aside to clean up if they go bankrupt, or if this fracking thing all of a sudden becomes obsolete? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Do you know, Evan?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things here. In terms of the wetland destruction, there are certain financial assurances that they are required to make when they're doing the mitigation planning. So it isn't the case that they just get to fill in the wetland and then they made all these promises and there's nothing enforceable there. So the law does contemplate that. In terms of the scarred landscape and the large impacts that can last, there are a couple of things. We do have a non-metallic mining, and sand is a type of non-metallic mining, reclamation statute that tries to address some of these issues. And in addition, and this is an issue that's going on right now, there are local ordinances that counties and other governments can have that control air and water pollution impacts of sand mining. State Senator Kathleen Vineout has been trying to introduce bills that would impact this. So that's something to watch. And you know, if your caller looks into that and thinks that that's a great thing, that would be something to support as well.
Is there significance in your challenge versus the challenge by Midwest Environmental Advocates on behalf of the Ho-Chunk Nation? They filed a petition in circuit court to review the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources approval of this permit. What approach are you taking, and why are you taking a different approach?
We're sort of taking a different approach. We also filed a petition in circuit court here in Dane County, but the reason that we're focusing on the administrative proceeding is because we filed a petition for a contested case hearing with DNR itself. So this is an administrative review process that the law allows you to sort of go through first, if you please, and you get to have an administrative law judge look at the permit, look at what the department did, and potentially tell the DNR with instructions, you know, please go back and do this in accordance with these instructions about how the law works. So it'd be kind of getting the DNR to go back and do it again. And that's just a little bit different than going to a court and having the court find that the way that the DNR did the permitting process was invalid in one way or another. So they're very similar. The statute allows for both of these. The reason that Clean Wisconsin filed both is just a procedural issue having to do with the timelines and wanting to make sure that we don't lose our remedies.
Yeah. So it was, just for listeners who are just joining us, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources did approve this permit required for the Atlanta-based Meteor Timber to fill in 16 acres of hardwood swamp, a wetlands area in Monroe County. The company wants to do this for this frack sand mining operation. Back when the DNR approved the permit, Meteor Timber released a statement, and it reissued that statement to us when we requested an interview, saying that they could not come on for an interview because of the pending litigation. The statement said, "Our company knows that sustainability is an important part of operating responsibly. We have worked hard to go above and beyond other projects by developing a historic plan to permanently preserve and restore high-quality wetlands wetlands on more than 600 acres. This effort merits support from those who want to see growth, economic development, and preserve the environment because our project accomplishes all three. So what's your what is your response to that statement, Evan?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I do think that the law as it is currently written, the law that we don't think that they complied with in issuing this permit, takes economic considerations into account in a big way. And the lines that were drawn that established when wetlands could and couldn't be destroyed were very aware of the need for economic development. So it's not the case that this is some law that prohibits all this good activity that we should want. This is a law that's a very careful compromise between economic development and environmental protection. And we don't think that this permit application complied with it. Now, when they say, when Meteor Timber, the company that wants to do the frack sand mining, says that this that environmentalists should support it, the other thing you have to keep in mind is what the sand is going to be used for. The sand is going to be used for frack mining crude oil, probably in the Permian in Texas. This is, so they're going to, the project will destroy wetlands, and that's what we're challenging. But we also have serious concerns about the end product of this, putting more carbon into the atmosphere. I mean, that's the big picture here is what we're talking about. And in addition, as one of the callers touched on, there are local air and water quality and landscape concerns that are serious as well. So it's true that during this preservation, they're required to do mitigation by law. But I think when you take into the accounts to the local environment, the global environment from production of fossil fuels and the destruction of wetlands, there just isn't a net environmental benefit here.
Let's go back to the phones, and Becky in Wisconsin Rapids is with us. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I guess the point that I want to bring up is DNR always gets this really bad rap about all these things that they're doing, and really, they get told from above what they can and cannot do, and especially with this current administration, they have been told that they need to let these things go with less restrictions and looking at them less carefully. So, granted, it's DNR who is the regulatory authority on that. However, they get directed from above. And so I feel like it needs to be clear that, yes, DNR is the ones putting out the regulatory part, but they've also been told by the administration to be more lenient on these things.
Do you agree with that, Evan?
I think that's a terrific point. I probably have unintentionally impugned the staff at DNR, the career staff, the people who are going out and looking in wetlands and, you know, doing great work building a record and understanding our environment. And there is a real challenge, and sometimes there's a disconnect between the folks in the field and the people who have to make the big picture decisions at DNR. I don't work there. I don't want to speculate about what's going on or any mindset. I just know what the permit looks like. I know what the provost project is, and I know what the law says, and that's where our concerns come from. But yeah. I think it is. I think she makes a wonderful point.
Yeah, I'm not sure you impugned anybody. The DNR approved the permit, and I've said that a number of times. Wasn't there also recently a rule change or a law change that meant fewer wetlands had to be filled in or restored if one is filled in? Wasn't there a change along those lines for the mitigation?
Well, they've been changing the rules around mitigation in different ways over the years. So, for example, it's only very recently that they even allowed preservation to be a tactic. So, and they sometimes adjust the formulas for the ratio of wetlands that are mitigated for versus destroyed and that sort of thing. So there are lots of interesting ways that these sorts of laws can be tinkered with to improve performance and to ensure that mitigation is actually creating the result that you want.
Dave on Facebook says, the irreparable damage Meteor Timber wishes to inflict upon our natural resources is a threat to our state and should be treated as such. Citizens of Wisconsin should take this seriously, and groups within the U.S. that wish to change the direction of our society for their own profit should be resisted and pushed out. These companies wish only to take direct action on our fragile ecosystem, which is code for burn it down and blow it up. Wisconsinites will not allow our state to be burned and dismantled. Are you concerned that our state is about to be burned and dismantled, Evan?
Well, I do think it's true. I mean, there are... I have serious concerns about the influence of large and powerful interest groups and the way that they're able to sometimes... get laws that are a little bit more favorable to their activities. But this isn't a new thing. It's in our society, we're always trying to compromise between the interests of different groups and different people. And what I would say is if you feel strongly about this issue, if you feel strongly about wetlands and other environmental issues, and you think that things have gotten out of balance, make your voice heard. You know, volunteer, donate money, call your legislators and let them know this, because... this is a democracy, after all, and so if you're concerned that things are getting out of hand and that businesses or corporations or that there are some sort of groups that are getting too much influence, you know, the ball is sort of in our court on that one.
We have just a minute to go. What are the next steps for you?
Well, the next steps are to proceed with the challenge. Hopefully we can convince the hearing examiner that the permit doesn't comply with the law, and have them go back and tell DNR to try again, and in the interim get a stay so that this wetlands isn't filled in the meantime. And that's important because, as I've mentioned, and I just want to reiterate this, once this wetlands is filled in and destroyed, it's gone forever. And the DNR in their permit itself acknowledged that the damage caused by this would be irreversible and permanent.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Evan Feinauer, staff attorney at Clean Wisconsin, which filed a challenge last week to this wetland fill in northern Monroe County. Thanks to Brianne Chasso for producing the program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.